Look back over your life and all that you've been through on your leadership journey. Think about all that you've survived and all that you've accomplished. Now, my fellow leader, let me ask you this. Could it be that the reason why you were chosen to lead in this season is because you have the experience and the track record to do so? Welcome to Life and Leadership with Kim Williams. I'm the CEO of Interfaith Family Services, a nonprofit that provides housing, help, and hope for families facing homelessness. I'm also the principal of Kim Williams Consulting, a change management firm that empowers nonprofits to change for the better. And I'm the author of Diary of an Insecure CEO, How I Went from Feeling Rejected to Raising Millions. I've led through a variety of organizational issues while raising over $50 million to fight poverty and learning a lot in the process. I created this podcast to share those lessons and help you to successfully navigate life and leadership. So let's get started. Hello, fellow leaders. How is life treating you in this new year? Happy New Year. I hope you're doing well. I'm going to tell you, I'm doing really well. My life is good. It's a bit complex. Personally, I've never been happier. I'm enjoying this season of my life as a woman, a wife, and a mom. In many ways, my husband and I are enjoying the fruit of our labor. Our sons have finished college and they are thriving. Our daughter is in high school and she's growing into a really impressive young woman. So I'm really happy. My husband and I have set some goals for the future that I'm excited about achieving. So on a personal front, things are going well. But then there is work. While this fiscal year is off to a much better start than last year, there's still a lot of uncertainty about the political, economic, technology, and global changes that will impact our work. We're truly in uncharted territory. No one knows quite what to expect. And as a type A strategist, this is very disconcerting to me. I'm a planner's planner. For more than a decade, I've started each year with a week-by-week annual plan of work for me and every team in my organization. All 52 weeks of our fiscal year are planned out and entered into our project management system 30 days before the new fiscal year even begins. I've always had two sets of contingency plans, one for large infusions of unexpected cash or revenue and big opportunities, and another for unexpected reductions in our revenue. Even with all that planning, I was struggling with anxiety about this year ahead, and that's kind of unusual for me. I think that I was struggling because in the last two decades of my professional year before the pandemic, I always started the year with a great deal of optimism. I would have big plans, challenging goals, and a pretty solid strategy for carrying them out. I have really relentless focus as an introvert. I have the ability to tune out most of the things around me and focus on my goals. So usually I'm optimistic and really, really focused at the start of a new year. So this focus has really gotten me through all types of leadership challenges and major accomplishments like the completion of a 3-year capital campaign and the 18-month construction process that followed. But when the pandemic occurred, it really disrupted my annual planning routine and severely shifted my perspective on planning. From 2020 to 2023, honestly, I was just focused on surviving this season of uncertainty. I kept telling myself that I would return to my big vision mindset when things were more stable and predictable. And it was kind of a natural transition for me because in 2019, we completed the capital campaign and construction of our new facility. 6 months later, we were shutting down temporarily for the pandemic. And then the next really 3-year period, we were trying to figure out what our new normal was in this much larger facility with this larger budget. So it was kind of a trial and error time period of trying to figure out what normal is and then what stability looks like and that type of thing. But now, you know, 2024, it was, you know, the year before our 40th anniversary. I was thinking, okay, now it's getting time to get back to big vision thinking that I've been known for and accustomed to. And I just couldn't find it in me. It was really, really hard. And I think it's because that previous 3 years and that survival mindset, and then the knowledge of the fact that this is not the world that I knew prior to the pandemic, I was a little afraid to get optimistic again and to get big vision again, honestly. Because as the Bible says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I feel like we're living in that time period in life. So for someone who craves common values, desires stability, produces consistently, the thought of a new season or era of disruption, as Pastor Teray Roberts calls it, was really anxiety producing for me. So I was overwhelmed until I set aside part of my winter sabbatical to take my concerns to the Lord. And when I did, two very important revelations emerged. The first one was this, that God in his sovereignty ordained me to be alive and to lead in this season. I was created and purposed for such a time of as this, or I wouldn't be here. Think about it. God meant for me to be here. He meant for you to be here. He made us for this era in time. So that was the first big revelation. Not only am I here, I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be leading in this time of uncertainty and unprecedented events. The second revelation was this. God never promised me a life without trials, challenges, or struggles. In fact, Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. He even described the chaos that would categorize what we consider the last days, children against parents, wars and rumors of war. Men would be wiser, but weaker. It's all there. So if we were given not only the warning that in this world, we're going to have tribulation, but also a description of that tribulation, then we can't expect a life without trials, challenges, and struggles. But there's good news in that scripture. It says, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. He went on to say, this peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So not only does he promise joy despite the struggles, he also promises peace. So once we expect the fight, we can expect to win. And that was a big shift. Shift number one, I'm supposed to be here. Shift number two, I'm supposed to face trials. And then kind of a third shift, I'm expected to win and find joy and find peace in the midst of these trials. So those were three really important paradigm shifts. So I'm going to ask you this. If I'm destined for this season, here's the question we need to ask. What is my purpose? Why me? So I asked myself that question, what is my purpose? Why me? And I realized that I'm a pro at leading through problems and the unpredictable. My entire career has been that of a change agent. I've led through famine and through feasting. I've led when people were against me and I've led when they were for me. I've led through growth and I've led through downsizing. I've led through bad press and personal attacks on my reputation. And I've led through great press and award nominations. My career has empowered me to not only be a strategic leader, but an incredibly agile one who is equally relentless about my vision as I am flexible regarding ways to get there. I mean, I almost laughed when I looked back because I'm literally made for this. Nothing about my journey has been normal, quote unquote, has been predictable, has gone unopposed, has gone unchallenged, has been without problems. None of that is true of me or my life. So who better than me to handle a season of much of the same? So that it became really clear that this is why I was selected to lead in such a time of this, because I'm good at it, because I have a history of it, because I'm experienced at it. So I realized that my battles with insecurity and imposter syndrome equipped me to support a new generation of young, dynamic, and visionary leaders who are going to face those same threats, challenges, and obstacles that I faced. And my job is to help them to overcome that discouragement and not be defeated before they can experience their first significant win. I'm also here to remind and refuel experienced leaders that you have the talent, you have the resources, and the resilience necessary to restore values, advance equity, and empower the underserved, despite any efforts to take us backwards. I'm here for the young leaders to say, hey, you can do this, and I'll show you how. And I'm here for the experienced leaders to say, you already have what it takes. It's just time to put those superpowers to action and make a difference. So that was kind of a great discovery that I had during my winter sabbatical that really changed the way that I'm approaching 2025 and this season ahead and help that optimism to return. So I told you my story. Now I want to give you a strategy for finding your optimism, for finding your hope, finding your joy as we start 2025. And of course, as always, I like to end this episode after the strategy with some spiritual encouragement. So let's get started. All right, so let's talk strategy. So what do we need to do if we're entering 2025 with a little bit of anxiety, fear, trepidation about all the uncertainty ahead, particularly in the nonprofit space and with ministry leaders? You know, last year, more churches began to close. And also, I've seen, at least locally, some very established nonprofits close their doors as well. So there's definitely challenges in the nonprofit space. But at the same time, I've seen other nonprofits really thrive and come up with some innovative and creative ways to serve people in the years to come. I believe Interfaith is one of those organizations. So I'm excited about that. And I've also seen some churches, including my church, do really, really well to the point to where they're considering adding a third service. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Some people are experiencing a lot of very significant challenges that have them considering closing their doors. A lot of leaders are resigning and considering leaving their positions. And then others are experiencing kind of a renaissance of sorts and revival or a reemergence. So but even that can be scary, knowing how to operate even when there's a lot of growth. Coupled with uncertainty surrounding that growth can cause folks to be cautious or maybe even too conservative for fear that bold and aggressive moves may not receive the support that is needed. So let's talk about whatever end of the spectrum you are on, let's talk about how to address those fears. Well, really, there are three questions that I think all leaders should ask. These are three questions that I would ask my clients, executive coaching clients that were facing this to help coach them through the process. First question is this: ask yourself, what about what I'm facing scares me? I think just going straight to that, why am I scared to grow? Why am I scared to downsize? Why am I scared to make this shift? What is the threat to me? Writing those things down is really important. Naming them, facing them, addressing them is key. Avoiding them is a recipe for disaster. And chances are the very same fears you have, they're going to come up in the board meetings. They're going to come up in the leaders' meetings. They're going to come up in the meetings with your team. So if you haven't addressed them, and I mean honestly and earnestly, you're going to have a difficult time addressing them in a group setting. So start with what scares you. And then question number two, ask yourself this: have I faced these things before in other forms? Here's the question that was most liberating to me. Because when I asked myself, have I faced these things in other forms? So for me, what scared me was just the uncertainty. Again, I'm a type A planner, strategist. I like to know what I'm facing. I like to have two or three contingency plans ready. And everything about what's going to happen politically with this new administration? What's happening with technology and AI, and how will that impact our space? What's happening with the decline in nationwide giving, and how will we make it? All these things were scary to me. There's adjustments really on all fronts, politically, with technology, with financially, with revenue. How can we be prepared to advance and grow with so much uncertainty? That was scary to me. But then when I asked myself, have I faced these things before? Yes. I think about how basic our systems were at Interfaith when I started. Like, all of our plans of work were in Excel spreadsheets. There was no, we didn't do any video calls of any type that I can remember when I first started. Most of our files were on paper. We didn't have clients, you know, software systems to track clients. The only software system we had was for our finances and our donors. And those were both kind of a new system that we end up changing. So that was, you know, how it was when I started. We're very, very different. We're not in the same buildings. We raised far more money than I thought we raised. My first 3 years, we were struggling to make budget. And then when I announced that I believe God was leading us to do a capital campaign, folks were laughing. They were like, how are you going to do a capital campaign and you're struggling to make your budget? But God called us to do it, and we did it, and we exceeded our original goal. So I've gone through seasons of, you know, surviving to seasons of thriving in just a few months' time when I walked in step with where God was leading me. So I've done that before. So the technology thing, yes. When I started, we went from Barack Obama's administration. I remember when all the things surrounding healthcare and insurance was impacting our rates here at work. And there was a lot of questions about that. There were some issues initially with giving as people were uncertain as to what his administration would look like. Then it rebounded pretty significantly. There were some changes with HUD and the policies and grants related to the homeless. It was just a lot of different changes. I can go on and on and on about that. And then we went to Trump again, and then there was a whole other thing, and then there was the pandemic. So, I mean, I've already gone through some pretty significant administration changes that have shifted and impacted our work in my over, you know, 20 years of leadership experience. So yes, I've gone through this in other forms and I've survived it. So why would this be any different? Why would this be any different? That was huge for me. Like, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. Like, I've done it before. And I think that if you look over your life, you're going to be able to say the same thing. Like, this isn't new to me. Like, I don't know what to expect moving forward. But what I can say is I've gone through all types of shifts, upheavals, challenges, issues in the past, and I survived them just fine. And really, if I'm honest, I found a way to thrive. I mean, isn't that the story of most people? Isn't that the story of our ancestors? Like, and I keep saying like for some reason today, that's been our story in our history. So yes, I'm going to deal with what faces me, but then I'm going to remind myself that I have faced these things before in other forms, and I not only survived, I found a way to thrive. And that has to be the case, or I wouldn't be a leader right now. So the third question is this: did I survive it? We just answered that. Yes, I not only survived it, but I thrived. We expand. I'm now in a position of I remained in a position of leadership. Some of you all were promoted during those times. Some of you all found better positions. Some of you all, you know, experienced great achievements, awards, acknowledgments. Despite everything that you've been through in the past, you're still here and you are thriving. So if we go over those questions again, what am I facing that scares me? Have I faced these things before, and did I survive it? With that framework in mind, look over your life and everything that you've been through on your leadership journey. Think about everything you survived and everything you accomplished. Now, my fellow leader, let me ask you this. Could the reason that you've been chosen to lead in this season be because you have the experience and the track record to do so? If the answer to that is yes, let me tell you what God told me when I took myself through this exercise. He said, don't panic like a private when you have the experience of a general. Let me say that again. Don't panic like a private when you have the experience of a general. You are a general. This isn't your first battle or even your fifth. You've been preparing for this season all of your life, whether you know it or not. Now isn't the time to worry, to fear, or to quit. Now is the time to stand in your calling, build your faith, and prepare for the battle ahead. Listen, while you don't know what to expect, you do have this assurance. The same God who brought you through that will bring you through this. The only difference is now He expects you not just to go through it, but to help lead others out and to help them win as well. You were made for this, and I want you to remember that as you move forward. So next week, we're going to explore how to identify your God-given superpowers or the talents that uniquely position you to win in the last season and have prepared you to thrive in this season of disruption. You don't want to miss next week's episode because we're going to discuss identity and leadership. So now I've shared my story, my personal anxiety, and I've shared my strategy. It's time to end this episode with a little spiritual encouragement. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When we think about that scripture, we think about why Thanksgiving was followed by a note to be anxious for nothing. But I realize now that Thanksgiving causes us to reflect on the fact that we've already survived so much. Thanksgiving helps us to realize that we, and most importantly, God, has enabled us to go through so much with success. It helps us to realize that we aren't new to this, we're true to this. We've survived rejection since childhood, so we're not new to that. We've pinched pennies and had some of our happiest days in the leanest of times during college and early adulthood. We've dealt with jerks, haters, naysayers, and we've proven all of them wrong. We've had people plot, plan, and execute strategies for our demise, yet we're still thriving. We've come from a legacy of people who've done the same. This isn't anything. At this point, this is, as the kids say, light work. It's time to remember who we are, and most importantly, who God is, and go into this future with a confident outlook and a calm disposition. We were made for this. As Prashia Hillard says, all of heaven is backing us up. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for another opportunity to be here with my fellow leaders. I thank you for an opportunity to encourage them. God, I pray that you would remind them, not just in their hearing, but in their heart, that they were made for such a time as this. Help them to reflect on every battle, every mountain, every challenge that you've brought them through. Help them to remember, Father, your faithfulness through it all, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. Help them to do as you've taught me, to expect the fight, but expect to win. Father God, as we enter this new season of uncertainty, of challenges, of obstacles, let us remember that it's nothing new, that in this world we'll have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer because you've overcome the world. And because you have overcome, we're more than conquerors too. So bring back the joy of our salvation. Bring back the joy and the peace of knowing who you are. Help us to enter this season, despite what we know will be some difficult days, with a joyous heart and peace in our spirit, knowing that He that began a good work in us will see it to completion. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's tips can be found on my website, kimwconsulting.com. Just click the resource tab in the menu. You can also find information about my consulting services and upcoming events, and subscribe to my monthly Life and Leadership newsletter. If you have any questions that you want me to answer on my podcast, message me on Instagram at @leadwithkim. If you found this podcast helpful, please share, rate, and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and remember, change is inevitable, but changing for the better isn't. Change wisely.